Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
When we look back at the U.S., for example, in this past few weeks, we saw in Texas their entire energy grid go down because of unexpected cold weather. Joining us now is Damon Coppola, the principal of Shoreline Risk, an author of professional textbooks on emergency management, homeland security, climate change, and Dr. Benjamin Ryan, who's a professor at Baylor University, co-author of a number of publications. Gentlemen, welcome to the show today.
Good morning.
Great to have you.
Morning, thanks.
Yeah, Damon and Benjamin, great to have you with us. Damon, let's start with you. Emergency management, that's a big, big topic. How can we focus it down to talk about businesses focusing on risk management, looking at their core objectives, and communities doing the same?
Well, businesses and communities, they tend to manage disasters differently. Businesses look at risk management, communities look at emergency management, disaster management. And, you know, when we look at what happened in Texas this past weekend, and there's a lot more than Texas where you can see evidence of this.
Yeah.
I believe we're using an outdated system. We're doing it wrong. We're not, as an emergency management community, evolving as quickly as the business community has. I don't want to say I've been in this field for over 20 years. I don't want to say that we haven't come a long way, because we haven't made the world a lot safer place. But if you know, you turn on the news, we've plateaued in a way. We're not advancing as we should be in preventing disasters. And a lot of the reason I believe that we've plateaued is because we haven't taken the same approach that the business community has.
And Benjamin, if I can just go over to you, and you know, we look at these different systems of handling these types of crises, these types of emergencies. Where have we been, and what should a new model or a new way of looking at this look like?
Yes, thank you, Glenn. A really good question. I think, as Damon has said, we've plateaued, and I think the need now is to move to a bit more of a values-based emergency management model. And that's really where you're focusing on the values of your community and what it needs. So where I am at Baylor University in Central Texas, we had to do that in May last year. We had a requirement or a need from the community for our university to reopen. And we did that successfully in August and have been open the whole time through the pandemic, because our community needed that. It was a values-based decision. So we worked with our community to sustain our operations as safe as we could. And we also had in-person classes right in the middle of the COVID pandemic. And we could only do that because it was really values-based emergency management principles and practices that we applied.
And values-based, what does values-based mean when it comes to emergency management, Damon? Put that into a perspective for us.
Yeah, it's the word values means a lot of things, but I can break it down this way. When you think about disaster management, what we tend to think of is that we're trying to prevent disasters. That becomes the focus. We're focusing on impacts to make disasters not happen. But for society, that's a means to an end. It's not the goal of a society. I don't think that as a society or even as a community, we say, oh, we'll be successful as a community if we don't have disasters. What we really care about is our way of life. And protecting our way of life. And that has to be the goal of disaster management, of disaster risk management. Protecting buildings and people, these are important things that we do, but we tend to make that the focus. And we tend to miss the mark when we do that, because we really need to be protecting those things that make the community or the society, if you will, those things that we place value in. That's what we need to be basing our emergency management on. And that's why we call it values-based emergency management.
Yeah, one of the things you brought up that was really interesting is talking about protecting our way of life. But I think nature shows us all the time that our life is always evolving. So one of the things that I think is maybe a challenge is that people are focused more on having things repeated versus the fact that actually things are evolving. And that's why I think Singapore is actually a great example of all of this, is because as a small country who has to survive, we know that what we are today will not cut it in the next 10 years and then further beyond that as well. So going back to your thing about value-based, how do we also incorporate elements that are not so much fixated to where we are right now, but more towards where we have to go in the future?
Yes, I'll take that one on. So I think evolving is, I think the winter storm we had here in Texas really highlights the need to evolve. So yeah. For your listeners there, Texas since 2006 has been the fastest growing state in the United States. So we've gone from about 23 million people to 30 million people in that period of time. During the winter storm period, there was actually a record request for electricity. So if you can think about needing to put your heater on or air conditioner if you're in Singapore, it was a record number of people were asking. So the kilowattage that was coming out was at record levels. And the system was probably about 5 minutes from complete failure. So the leaders needed to make a decision. How do we keep this society going? And unfortunately, 4.5 million people lost their power, and there's rolling wow. power outages of varying degrees. I had friends that were lucky enough to go to hotels. Other people had to go to warming centres. But what this highlights is in Texas, we've had rapid population growth. Then if you're a disaster planner and say you're going to have a winter storm, which was on record for central Texas, the longest streak, 9 days below 0 degrees Celsius, the longest in history,
yeah.
if you were to say you need to plan for that, you probably wouldn't be putting that up on top in your priority list. But what this has highlighted is we need to really evolve our planning and winterize the systems in yeah. Texas, for example, because we've got rapid population growth as well.
Mm.
For sure.
We're talking with Dr. Benjamin Ryan, professor at Baylor University in Texas, co-author of a number of publications on disaster and emergency management, and Damon Coppola, principal at Shoreline Risk, the author of professional texts on emergency management, homeland security, climate change. Those of you on Facebook Live with us can see the visage of both of these gentlemen coming to us bright and clear. Those of you on the radio, of course, we're happy to have you there too. And Damon, if I can pivot over to you, you have written and you have talked about Prime Minister Lee here in Singapore and his response to COVID, his government's response to COVID. You, of course, lived here for a number of years, and so you know Singapore well. Take us through what your viewpoint was on this sort of let's do this psychology of the Singapore government when it came to COVID and how that fits into your culture and your values-based management of this emergency, the pandemic.
So I saw those original speeches that the Prime Minister gave very early on in the crisis, and they were amazing. I mean, I reposted them because I saw this as the way we can move forward. He appealed to Singapore and Singaporean society as being resilient, and the society as being able to get through this, because what he saw as being the important thing with COVID was being able to continue as Singapore, not necessarily jumping into any one move to limit the spread of COVID, but to make sure that life in Singapore could continue as well as possible for as long as possible in a way that preserved the way of life.
Yeah.
Eventually, things had to change to be able to shift between prioritizing healthcare and prioritizing freedom of movement and other things that you would be able to do. But it was a very well measured response based on understanding what's important in Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think in the case of Singapore, the fact that they also had coupled towards that the infrastructure for that. So one of the things that got me really moved by it is within a few days of the whole crisis, we had a national WhatsApp and Telegram channel being released. And for me, as someone who's in communication, the fact that you can minimize the psychological level of stress and not having information by having that infrastructure in place from one place was really powerful. And then coupled by the policies that they had, coupled by the messages that were being shared, like it was a holistic solution that got me really impressed to see like, wow, this has not been done on the fly. This has been done obviously years ago and was activated when it needed to be activated. And I would love to see more countries do that, because I became, I was telling Glenn in the beginning, so much more patriotic last year towards being a Singaporean, because I was so moved by like how much they worried about the mental well-being of people. And as a psychologist, that's for me like really fascinating that they looked at it such holistically as well.
And Benjamin, you know, we have seen nearly the opposite in Texas as a result of the power outages there. And A.B. Terrence, one of our Facebook Live watchers, you know, asks about the politicized nature of something as basic, as fundamental as an electric grid.
Yeah.
All of a sudden – you know, the U.S. in terms of the pandemic and also Texas has really been the opposite, I think, of what we've seen in terms of the planning here in Singapore.
Yeah, that's a very good question, because what we need to do is look at the issue. And I know here locally, for example, the issue, for example, for us was we got eggs today for the first time since the winter storm.
Wow.
So when you're looking at local impacts and understanding what they are, it's really planning for this into the future.
Mm.
And I've worked in various parts of the world in disaster planning, and I've been in those arenas where people have thought, well, we don't need to worry about our key infrastructure for a storm surge, for example, but that area is vulnerable to that because it hasn't happened before. So when we think about what's happened in Texas, there was the 1989 freeze here, there's a 2011 as well, and then there was another one in 2018, and they thought they'd done enough improvements to get there. So it's really a cascading situation that has evolved into where we are now. And it's really highlighting that, for example, in Texas, which your listeners may not be familiar with, there's multiple power sources. So 17.5% of the power here is from windmills or wind farms, which would be is number one in Texas or number five in the world if Texas was a country. That wasn't the issue. It was the entire grid.
Yeah.
So it was the natural gas system. It was nuclear. It was the whole system. And what really needs to happen because of how the system works here in Texas is really ranking and prioritizing. And the leadership here is moving actively towards this. And I sense where we're going, we're evolving again using this values-based management approach towards, I think there'll be a focus on how do we strengthen the natural gas system in Texas to make it more winterized and more resilient. And again, that's reflecting the Texas values, which doesn't reflect California, New York, Singapore. And that's really the model Dame and I are talking about. It really needs to be local and reflect the priorities for your local community.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have buy-in from your community, you can't make a difference.
Yeah.
Especially
if I can add one thing on that. If what you hear a lot about the deregulation in Texas as being the problem. And that is, deregulation is embraced. So if that's something that's valued, then that's important to that society. And disaster management shouldn't automatically say deregulation is the answer. Having affordable and reliable electricity, that's also valued. So now you have a clash of values. And there are ways to maintain both. You just have to adapt as a society. Mm. But if the emergency management community isn't in touch with both sides of that issue, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Damon, when we look at what happened in Texas, and of course, with the background of this being a very unique weather event that's happened there, yeah. Texas does get ice storms and things occasionally in Dallas once or twice a year in a typical year. This was a black swan event in many ways, weather-wise. But even in spite of that, do people there truly appreciate that from the outside world, the state of Texas looks like a third world country. And in fact, it's the largest energy producer in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Like people are just shaking their heads overseas saying, how can this possibly happen in the biggest economy in the world, in the biggest energy producing state in the biggest economy? Do people get that in the U.S.?
Yes, I think so. I mean, systems fail, and it's not like we haven't had our fair share of failures in other regards and many other disasters that have happened.
Yeah,
we've seen society shut down from COVID in a lot of ways, in ways that I think eclipse what's happened in Texas from a, you know, how large of a part of society has been affected by it. But that being said, it's when we're planning for black swans, trying to identify black swans, we're going back to the old way of planning for impacts, planning for hazards versus ensuring that these quality of life issues are maintained. Mm. That's not, we're looking at the ends to a means when we're looking for these black swans. We should be planning for what is it that we need society to have, to be, to have a quality of life. And it shouldn't matter whether it's an ice storm or whether it's conflict in the Middle East or whatnot that causes fuel prices to rise or the grid to break down because of higher demand.
Yeah.
It's the electricity that we want. Yeah. It doesn't matter what's causing it.
Fantastic. Well, fascinating topic, guys. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we got to leave it there. Damon Coppola, principal at Shoreline Risk, and Benjamin Ryan, professor at Baylor University in Texas. Really appreciate your time and your insights. Fascinating topic, and one that's only going to become more important as climate change and other natural disasters impact us in the future. Thanks for being with us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.